your attention, please. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny, usual label Buffalo Bill Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Yisrael Abel Barzilai Hawkins, and I would like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. I'll turn over to the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering the sanctuary. And now I have the great privilege and honor to present to you Son of Yisrael Abel Nebaiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The title of my speech today is Giving Gifts. The world always wants to give gifts because they say it is a great thing to do. They think it is a desirable thing to do. But let's see what the scriptures have to say about giving gifts. If you can turn to page 732 in your books of Yahweh, it's Matthias 6, verse 1 through 4. It's on page 732. And it's under the heading, Righteous Precepts for Giving. And it says, be careful that you do not do your alms, compassionate acts, works of mercy, and giving to the poor in front of men just to be seen by them. Otherwise, you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a long, unbroken note on the trumpets before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so they may receive glory from men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And in the first book of Israel, chapter 23, verse 101, pastor says, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, they were not out on the streets blowing trumpets, but they are out standing on the corner. Here's a dollar. Then here comes the next one with $10, giving it to someone on the street as if they were doing a big thing. Overseer Yisrael Hawkins has taught us a lot about not giving gifts. In the 8th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 18, verse 43, he says, her beastly system says, buy everyone a toy of some kind and give it to them. You know, I would like to totally get away from giving gifts myself. There's nothing in the Holy Scriptures that tells you to take a gift to anyone except Yahweh himself. Praise Yahweh. If you want to give a gift of some kind, give him a book of Yahweh or a book of Yisrael or something that would train the child in righteousness. And pastor is talking about a parent giving their child something like a book of Yahweh or a book of Yisrael or something. So, gifts cause unjust judgments. In the 10th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 8, verse 89, he says, that's just one of the things. That's the reason we don't give gifts in the house of Yahweh. Because Yahweh says, gifts turn the head. They don't see the evil that the man wanted from giving this gift, so it turns the head. Well, I gave you a favor. Oh, I know, mark this much off my list. You remember the unfaithful servant that Yahshua spoke of? It started with the giving of a gift. Don't give gifts in the house of Yahweh. If you give a gift, give it to Yahweh's house. Don't give it to a person. Yahweh says, pick priests who hate gifts. Don't be taking gifts from anyone. Don't be accepting gifts from anyone. Beware of those giving gifts. Why would he tell you this? to warn you that it turns ahead. It causes unjust judgments. So Pastor is saying, don't give gifts and don't accept gifts from anyone in the house of Yahweh or in the world. Pastor goes on to say in the 13th book of Israel, part 2, chapter 21, verse 82, should it be too hard now for you to understand, don't give gifts on your own. You have received your reward. What was it? A little bit of glory for a little bit of while, and totally separated yourself from Yahweh's house. You didn't seek to begin with, you didn't ask, but you went ahead and did it. Well, I'll ask later, I'll confess later, and you have forgiveness. That's easier. Well, it's not repentance, and you can't fool Yahweh. Even things like paying for something for someone is still a gift, whether it's someone in the house of Yahweh or someone in the world. And for my last quote, in the first book of Israel, chapter 23, verse 102, he says, there is nothing wrong with giving. What is wrong is taking credit for it. Where do you want to build up points? With Yahweh? Then you will do as Yahshua said here. So in conclusion, if we want to give something, give it to the house of Yahweh so Yahweh gets the glory. And it will be accounted to you as righteousness. And with that, if you all please stand. It's my privilege and honor to present to you the next speaker, Son of Israel, for prayer.
The great Son of Israel, Abel, Deacon Shlomo Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to be talking about do not fear. Do not fear these tests and trials. If you turn over to Exodus 20, it's on page 61. Exodus 20, verse 20, it says, Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so that the reverence for Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin. Alright, so do not fear, because these tests and trials are to help you get into this kingdom. So that's what Moshe told the people. From the seventh book of Israel, chapter 23, and verse 69 and 70. It says, well, out of fear now, the 12 disciples actually were offended because of the arrest of Yahshua. Out of fear. So Moshe tells the people, first off, you know, you're going to be judged here. Now, you're going to go through some tribulation. In fact, everyone will suffer tribulation. The scriptures say, everyone who Yahweh chooses will suffer tribulation. One of the apostles said this. So anyone who Yahweh chooses, they'll go through these tests and trials to see if they'll make it into the kingdom. Then it says in verse 20, or verse 70, well, hear this first thing he said, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you. He just gave them 10 laws here, the 10 commandments right here. Each of these commandments is important, because if you break one of these, it's sin. Now you can put your own thoughts into what is more important than one of these 10 commandments, you know. So, and I think it was the apostle Jacob, he said that if you break one of these laws, you've broken them all. Alright, so it says you have to keep these 10 commandments right here, or else it is sin. From the 11th book of Israel, chapter 25, verse 46, says, if you turn over to Exodus 20, you will see here the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments are written here. And in verse 6 it says, but showing, teaching love to thousands. That is Yahweh teaching love to thousands who love me by keeping my laws. If you look down to verse 20, Moshe said to the people, do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you. Well, of course, that's what you're here for. He calls you to his house, and you come desiring to receive eternal life. Well, eternal life, yes, it's for the taking. It's a free gift from Yahweh, if you qualify. If you qualify through Acts 3:19, repent and being converted, if you qualify, then he'll get this free gift of eternal life. But he's here to test you at his house, to see whether you will keep his laws or not. Whether you will say, I believe with a false tongue, but he's here to test you and try you to see if you will keep his commandments or not. To test and prove you so that the reverence for Yahweh, the love for Yahweh will be with you so that you do not commit sin. All right, that's why he's testing and trying you so that you do not commit sin. If you turn to... No, that's the gifts we should be receiving. Verse 48 says, everyone who's brought to or called to the house of Yahweh is called here for that test. And Yahweh gives you space to repent. That is a set time period. All right, he's giving us time to repent of our sins and be converted. The apostle said here in Acts 3:19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Do you see? Unless you're converted to Yahweh, to keeping Yahweh's laws, repent of sin, repent of sin. Don't sin anymore. And if you remember, that was the theme, sin never again. Don't sin anymore. Start practicing the laws that will bring your health, that will bring your peace and joy. Yes, joy, rejoicing, and love. That's what these laws will bring if you repent. And start setting your mind to rejoice on Yahweh's Sabbath day and to make the Sabbath a delight. If you turn over to Acts 3, it's on page 842. Acts 3 and verse 19, it says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of Yahweh. All right, so that's what occurs when you repent and be converted, that you'll be refreshed. Refreshing may come. All right, like Pastor's saying here, the joy, rejoicing. All right, and this is what it'll bring, joy on the Sabbath. If you turn to Isaiah 58, it's on page 567. Isaiah 58 and verse 13 says, if you turn away your foot from breaking the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, your own business, your own pleasure, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yahweh honorable, and when will honor him by not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor engaging in idle conversations. Then it says, then you will find your joy in Yahweh. All right, so that's what you see when you repent and be converted. You'll find your joy in Yahweh and you'll start loving Yahweh and loving his laws, all right, that he puts for you. In the 11th book of Israel, chapter 6, verse 5, 11th book of Israel, chapter 6, verse 5, says, if you'd be turning over to Iob, or as it should be, Yashub, because Yashub was a shining example that Yahweh used here in letting a righteous man suffer, letting a righteous man go through these tests and trials. And of course, it was his test because Iob was blessed, and this was held up by Satan, you know, to say, well, he's just doing it for the blessings that you give him. What most people don't understand is Yashub had, he was running the house of Yahweh at that time. And it was a pretty fair house. If you read it with that in mind, you'll see it so much like ours, like what we have here today. You'd think he was talking about us in prophecy, and maybe even as a prophecy, or at least prophecies. There's a lot of prophecies in it concerning the last Abel, or the last day's work that we're in right now, and what Yahweh wants us to achieve. And if we can just, you know, set your hearts and your minds to it, and remember some things that took place in Yashub's life. In Yashub 1, verse 1, he tells you that Yashub was a perfect man. That man was perfect, blameless, and upright. Almost like Yeshua, he was perfect. So, Iyob, or Yeshub, he was a perfect man, he was blameless. He kept Yahweh's laws on his mind. He reverenced Yahweh and shunned evil. All right, that's one thing you notice. He made sure that sin wasn't on his mind. Of course, most of you, I know, still remember and practice that going on to perfection, where I brought this out about the perfect man being one who reverenced Yahweh. Well, if you turn over to Iyob, or Yeshua, chapter 1, it's on page 412. It says, in the land of Uz, there lived a man. Iyob was his name. That man was perfect, blameless, and upright. He reverenced Yahweh and shunned evil. So he despised evil. Verse 8 through 12 says, and Yahweh said to Satan, have you considered my servant Iyob? There is none like him in the earth. A perfect, blameless, and upright man, one who reverences Yahweh and shuns evil. Iyob answered Yahweh and said, does Iyob reverence Yahweh for no reason? Have you not made a hedge around him, as well as around his household and all that he has on every side? You have blessed his every effort, and all, and his possessions have increased in the land. All right, so Satan was seeing how Yahweh blessed Iyob because Iyob was practicing Yahweh's laws. He was finding joy, and so Yahweh was blessing him. All right. So Satan was realizing this. That's why he said, you blessed his every effort. Then verse 11 says, and just put out your hand and strike all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. So Yahweh said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Just don't lay your hands on him personally. So Satan departed from the presence of Yahweh. And then later on in that chapter, then Iyob started going through some tests. And then if you look to verse 22, it says, in all this, Iyob did not sin by cursing Yahweh of wrongdoing. So Iyob never sinned. He didn't sin by cursing Yahweh of wrongdoing, even through his tests and trials. Back to verse 6 in the 11th book of Israel. But Iyob was tested to see if he would turn from Yahweh. If you remember that, you'll know that reverence, it also means love. But it's also proving the love by, of course, keeping Yahweh's laws. And the first commandment is to love Yahweh with all your heart. That's not in the 10, but that's the greatest commandment there is, to love Yahweh. And it's hard to do that because you have to see Yahweh through his laws, statutes, and judgments, but also through his plan and his prophecies. And then you're told to believe his prophecies, all right? Because what his prophecies are going to come to pass. If you turn to Psalms, so no matter what tests and trials we have, we still have to put our trust in Yahweh and start loving Yahweh and the laws that he put for us. Psalms 37, it's on page 447. Verse 3 says, trusting you, great Yahweh, and doing righteousness, we shall dwell in your land and be fed on your faithfulness. Delight in great Yahweh, trust only in him, and he will bring to pass the desires of our hearts. Commit your ways to Yahweh, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So when you trust in Yahweh, then he will deliver you. If you turn to 1 Corinthians, it's on page 893. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands be on guard, that he does not fall. There is no temptation taken hold of you except what is common to man, and Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also make the way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. All right, so trust in Yahweh and remember that through these tests and trials, that's how we're going to get into the kingdom. And Yahweh will not let you go through what you can't bear. And he will also make the way of escape. And that way of escape is through his laws, through these counselors, like Pastor said last week, like in Proverbs 15:22 and 11:14 for your notes, through many counselors you will succeed. All right? So keep that in mind. Do not fear these tests because they're there to help you get into this kingdom. All right? And with that, if everyone will please stand. Like turn over to the great pound, Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Oh. All right, let's pick up right where we left off last week. If y'all remember, we were talking about this. Let me find this picture for you. Saturn. We were talking about the mark of the beast, but we were kind of going over that, the hexagram on the north pole of Saturn. If you can see it there, that's an actual picture. It's actually swirling counterclockwise, and it never goes away. Okay, you know, they've checked over the years, and that thing is still there, and they just can't make any sense of it. And if you remember, also on the south pole, there was that eye-shaped formation. Now, let me see. I want to show you a picture of, this is Pope Benedict. You can see the hexagram there on his Pope's mitre. Hey, I thought that was the Star of David, right? Wasn't that the Star of David? How, what's he doing with that? With the planet Saturn there in the middle. Huh, interesting. Something else that marks this Pope, Pope Francis, I want to read this to you. This is, we have a Saturnalia coming up here in next month, right? Saturnalia is what was what Christmas is called today, or Xmas, as they call it. And notice it's held on December 17th of the Julian calendar, and it was later expanded with festivities through December 23rd. Write both those dates down, December 17th and December 23rd. Now, Saturn, in Roman mythology, was the agricultural deity who was said to have reigned over the world in the Golden Age, when humans enjoyed the spontaneous bounty of the earth without labor in a state of innocence. And the Greek equivalent was the god Cronus, or Cronia, or, you know, remember the god of time, Father Time? Oh, speaking of that, Pope Francis, the 266th Pope, was born what day? Isn't that Saturnalia? Wow, that must be a coincidence. You need to write all these down because this is very important. And remember, Kronos, where we get also the word time, like chronology. Here's an issue of Time magazine. I'm going to zoom in on the date. I'm going to try to get this thing squared in here. If you'll notice, it's December 23rd, 2013. Remember when the Saturnalia ended originally? And here you go. Here's the man of the year, Father Time, Papa. Remember, Father Time, Cronus. Okay, you think that's an accident? Yes or no? Oh no. All this is going to be exposed for what it is. This man of sin is being exposed in these last days. Now, the mark of the beast. I was talking about the mark of the beast and all that, where all this is coming from. I'm not getting this out of the 13th chapter of my imagination. I'm getting it from the mark of the beast that Pastor wrote. Back in 1975 is when he started writing it at the homestead, and 76 is when it was published. I'm going to go to page 143 here. Of course, I forgot my glasses. 143. What am I trying to do without them? And this is where he spoke about the number of a man. It says Yahweh's number is 13, but man's number is 6. To find the gematria to man, we must add the number 6 to each progressive letter of the alphabet. And he shows how A would be 6, and then B would be 12, so on and so forth. And he shows these different words that come out to 666, like, for instance, mark of beast adds up to 666, okay? Remember, 6 is a number of man. He also showed here New York is 666. Keep this in your mind because this is going to play into the Pope's recent visit, and you're going to see how all of this ties together perfectly. Also, let me go over to, let's see, I want to go to back a little ways here, because I want to start talking about, here you go. This is on page 95, and the word Latin or Latinos is how they used to spell it in the Greek. Here's how they used to spell it. That added up to 666. Is Pope Francis not the first Latin American Pope? Latin America, you know where Latin America is? Down in Argentina, that part of the world, that's Latin America. Okay? And now, I'm trying to find the page number. I don't know how it written down. We're going to go to, page 151, I'm sorry. There's another word that pops up here with the gematria of 666, and that's that word computer. Computer. Now, Pastor, as I showed you last week, he mentioned that computer. He said that he mentioned that computer in the Mark of the Beast, and he wrote about it, and indeed he did. Now, by the way, before I get into that, if you don't think Pope Francis knows something about the 666, here he is at the, I don't know why this never works for me. Trying to zoom out a little bit here for you. Okay. This is at his address to Congress. And no, he's not saying A-OK. Okay, that's not what he's doing. And this is at the beginning of his speech. And he's making a form of, if you look at it, it's the number 6. Okay, look closely. Where did he get that from? Probably from the same people he taught in the world. Here's Justin Timberlake, one of the singers of Hollywood. And notice, featuring the 3-6 Mafia. Okay? And notice what he's doing with his fingers. Same thing, right? It's also associated with magic. Okay? Because that number 6, this is no mistake, okay? Pastor told you to stay away from this entertainment. It's teaching you God worship, okay? All of it is. And I'm going to prove it to you as we go along. Okay, now, let me see. Skip that today. So the gematria of the Mark of the Beast, 666, computer 666. Now, I want to show you, because this ties in with last week's sermon regarding Saturn. And it's Revelation 13:18. And this is where it says that, you know, he who has understanding, let the one having understanding, let him count the number of the beast. Okay, now, who's the one who has understanding? Okay, do you think just anybody can calculate the number of the beast? No, it wasn't given to just anybody to calculate it. In fact, that word calculate means to add up. Remember what Pastor taught us about adding up all the scriptures? You can't just, it's not just taking a number and going, okay, his gematria is this. Okay? No, you have to add up all the laws and the prophecies to see who this really is and to expose this man of sin. Notice the word, it shows you his number is 666. Do you notice what it says here? Hexa. Kosoi, which is 600. hex tana, which is 60, and hex. Remember the six-sided thing on the planet Saturn, right? The hexagon? Okay? Because the hex means six. And you can also put a hex on somebody, I guess, if you're a Satan worshiper. They like to put hexes on other people. It's all associated with curses. Now, that word compute, actually, when it says, let him count the number of the beast, let him count is word number, I believe it's 5, I can't see it very well, 5505. 5585, I'm sorry. And notice what it means. It means to compute. And it means to calculate and to reckon. And it's from this word, 5586. And it means a pebble of use as a counter. You know, like an abacus, you know how they take a little, they have these little rocks on them or whatever, and they slide them over, and they count and calculate with it. They add and subtract. Okay, now, here's from the history of computing. It's an article that I found. Did you know that it says before 1935, a computer was a person? Did you know that? A computer was considered a person. It wasn't considered a machine. It was a person who performed arithmetic calculations. Between 1935 and 45, the definition referred to a machine rather than a person. And then the modern machine definition is based on von Neumann's concepts, a device that accepts input, processes data, stores data, and produces output. Boy, that sounds a lot like Pastor's subconscious mind if I ever heard it. But he is the Pastor, the computer was invented in 1934. Both of them. Okay? Both of them. If you know what I'm talking about. Pastor Israel Hawkins. Remember I told you he was a cool and calculated man. Okay? All right, so now here's something interesting. We're talking about 1976, okay? And this is the one that most of us are familiar with, Apple Computer. Now, I want you to see that Apple Computer was founded in 1976. Now, this would be after Pastor already wrote The Mark of the Beast, okay? And the founders were Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak and Ronald Wayne, and they were headquartered in Cupertino, California. You always see Cupertino on your phone, the weather, and you're like, who's Cupertino? Well, that's where Apple was originally, that's where their headquarters is today. It was established April 1st by Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak. I already mentioned that. Okay, now, I want to play a clip before I go any further. Can you play disc 2? Do not play disc 1. Please play disc 2 first. Watch carefully. There's the things that are circled on the video. Watch very carefully, please. You're going to see some numbers. And a little history about Apple Computer, a little bit of history.
Out of this creative show and tell came Apple Computer, the first mass-market PC company. The Apple founders, a couple of recent graduates from Homestead High, were regulars at homebrew meetings. Steve Wozniak was the technical wizard, and Steve Jobs was the visionary who saw microcomputers as a possible business. Apple was at best a funky company, started by a couple of teenage hackers who previously had been working as Alice in Wonderland characters in a local shopping mall. And they started it in this garage right here. The first Apple computer was built here. Now there are more than 10 million in use around the world. And I was there. Well, for a short time, I was an employee at Apple Computer, employee number 12, and one day I helped move materials out of this garage. At the time, Steve Jobs said the company was short of loot, so he offered to pay me in company shares, but I held out for the money. My mother still reminds me of that incident. The Apple I was even less of a computer than the Altair, a single circuit board that came with neither a case
nor a keyboard. Still, Steve Jobs managed to sell 50 Apple I's.
What high school? Homestead. Homestead, wasn't that where pastors started writing the Mark of the Beast? That's what he told me. In fact, I just asked him 10 minutes ago, "Where could you please tell me where you started writing the book?" He said, at the Homestead. So I just made the same connection you did just now. Now, the first Apple computer, of course, it sold for, you know, this July 1976, the Apple I went on sale. Okay, and there's a picture of it, pretty primitive, right? $666.66. I wonder why. And you know, when you investigate, you try to find out the answers about these things, you'll never get the answer. Only the house of Yahweh knows the answer and will fully know the answer by the time this is over. Okay? Now, and here's an actual, here's the actual ad. You can find this online, actually, for the Apple One. Okay, there it is. Okay? And here's another ad talking about bite into an apple. You know, I wonder where they got that idea for that apple, right? Now, here's the Apple computer, that garage they made them in, was 2066 Crist Drive. Crist Drive. Well, I don't have time to show it to you today about the numerology and how you drop that zero, okay? The zero, drop it. Just remember 266, okay? Now, and Crist Drive, what does that mean? Crist, huh? I knew before I looked at it. Crist means Christus, which is Christos, which is anointed, or Christ. Here you go. Christ, the radical, the lenition version, and the nasalization. I guess that's through your nose. But that's how it's pronounced. Hey, by the way, have you ever heard anybody say, you know, we need to go back to the old days, you know, where the video games were very innocent and, you know, it wasn't like today, you got all these bang bang, shoot 'em up, heads getting chopped off kind of stuff. Remember Pac-Man? Remember Pac-Man? Remember how innocent Pac-Man was? Well, hold on to your seats, okay? We won't go there yet. On Apple's logo, or on their logo to this very day, you'll see this picture. Let me get to it. Here it is. And what it is there's a picture of Sir Isaac Newton sitting under a tree with an apple over his head. Does anybody remember the story about Isaac Newton and how he figured out gravity? He was sitting under the tree and the apple fell on his head. Y'all remember that? If you went to public school, they taught us that. Well, you know, that is true. Here's a brief history here from York University, a brief history of Isaac Newton's apple tree. This university actually got a part of that tree and grafted it and planted it in their college campus. That's it right there. Notice when they acquired it. 1976. And notice this. This is the tree from which it was reputed that Newton saw an apple fall in the late number of 1666. Really? Could there be that many coincidences? Oh boy. So let's look at a little something here. Now remember that number 666. Let me give you a quote that Pastor actually gave from the 12th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 18, verse 4. He says, the computer back in the 70s, I think as I wrote about that book, or I wrote I think it was I wrote the books, The Mark of the Beast, and I showed the number 666 and how it applied to almost everything of Satan. But it applied to the computer. The computer itself figures out the 666. This number he shows, the 666, is showing this Nimrod system, okay? It's showing the system. Trying to find this picture here. I think it's way back here. Let me zip on over here. Please forgive me for... Okay, now this is interesting. This is from 27 November 2012. Pac-Man in Saturn Moon, Tethys, is a repeat performance. Notice they're saying that looks exactly like Pac-Man. They did a heated thermal image of Saturn, and they said that's Pac-Man, complete with the eyeball right here. You see that? Okay? And then the other image of the other moon, they're saying, this is not the first time. This is the second time they found it. It says, finding a second Pac-Man in the Saturn system tells us that the processes creating these Pac-Men are more widespread than previously thought. The Saturn system, and even the Jupiter system, could turn out to be a veritable arcade of these characters. Now, this is Pac-Man. Now, let me show you the colored version of that picture. This is what you'll see if you go and look at the actual paper. Notice that? That's the thermal image. Well, was Saturn... Saturn was known, if you remember, if you go to this book here, the Book of Yahweh Study Guide, that Saturn was known as the eater of his children. Y'all remember that? The eater of his children. And here's another one from the Daily Mail. I don't think we should be longing for those former days, do we? It's Pac-Man 2. NASA spacecraft finds thermal image of 1980s iconic video game character in another of Saturn's moons. There it is again. Wonder what somebody's trying to show them. Oh, by the way, let's look at the history of Pac-Man. Here's the first Pac-Man. It was a board game by Tomy, and it was released... When? 1976. Wow. Imagine that. And 1980 is when the arcade version of Pac-Man came out. And remember what was going on in Pac-Man, right? There's Saturn eating his children. Okay? Remember, he goes around, eats all the little dots, and then he eats the little children there. Okay? That's what the whole game was about. Innocent little game, right? Hopefully no one here is playing Pac-Man. Don't know why we'd want to eat our children. Okay, now, let's see. Page 396. Okay, now, I told you... Oh, yeah, let me show you another picture here. I told you that we're gonna be going deeper into this later. We don't have a lot of time today, but... In my remaining moments, I want to ask you if you guys, does anybody remember who this actor is right here? Anybody recognize that actor? Yeah. Sylvester Stallone? Okay, let me see if I can zoom in a little. There you go. Can everybody see him okay? That's Rocky, right? Really? That's Rocky? No? Well, yeah, it is, but let me give you the full picture here. If I can zoom out some more. That's Pope Gregory the 16th. And, people were amazed that, hey, wait a minute, that's Sylvester Stallone in this picture. In fact, they were so amazed, Stallone spotted in 16th century Vatican painting. Right? Now, am I saying he's that old, you know, like he's hundreds of years old? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I'm giving you a taste of what's coming, okay, is what I'm doing. I'm giving you a taste of what's coming because this thing, this rabbit hole goes really deep, okay? And you're going to see how it's so amazing how all these things tie in to the Pope's recent visit and what's taking place today in the number 39 and the number 40. Let me give you another, let me see if I can find it. And remember, 1776 or 1976, I showed you the definition. One of the definitions meant to slap, to strike with the hand, and also to smite with the palm of the hand, and to box the ear. Remember that? Like Rocky boxing. Okay, that was 1976, and that's when that movie came out. Okay, one other thing I want to give you in my remaining few moments here. Remember we talked about that cube associated with Saturn? Right now I'm just going to give you a preview of what you're going to get next. This man, his name is Stanley Kubrick. Okay? He was born July 26, he died March 7, 1999. In fact, the same year that Malachi Martin died, just a few months apart. They call him one of the new Hollywood filmmaking wave. He was part of the 60s group of filmmakers that started making films. But he's considered to be the most important contribute. He made films that were the most important contributions to world cinema in the 20th century. And he's frequently cited as one of the greatest and most influential directors of all time. Now, he made a lot of different movies. Clockwork Orange, Eyes Wide Shut was the last movie he made. Now, am I telling you to go out and watch these?
No,
don't do that, please. Don't go do this. But this man showed the plans of the satanic plan through his movies. And one of them was called 2001, A Space Odyssey. Okay, and it was released in 1968. I believe it was 33 years before 2001. Okay. Now, another interesting thing about that is, if you noticed, he died on March 7th, 3/7/99. So I did a little calculation, and if you'll notice, 3/7/99. To 2001, January 1st, 2001, is 666 days. Exactly. Do you think there's something there? Can you wait to find out? Well, you're going to have to. 2001. What took place in 2001? War on Terror? Well, we'll find out more next time, Yahweh willing. It's been an honor and a privilege to speak to you today. And I just want to say, keep serving the computer. Keep serving the pastor, Israel Hawkins, the greatest computer that has been invented. He's a great, great blessing to all of us, and Yahweh is really recognizing the fruits of all your labor here. I hope you all enjoyed today's sermon. At this time, I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Of course, many things on the rise in our world today, most of it being negative. And we start out in Chicago. As of this year, they've already had 391 murders. And of course, 40 of them have been young children. They specifically talk about 1 9-year-old that was shot to death in an alley just this last week. But this is not a rare thing in Chicago. They're leading here in America, but all the major cities that you can think of or that you look up are showing that murder is on the rise, to the point even just a few weeks ago, a 4-year-old girl riding with her father in New Mexico during a road rage incident, someone pulls up by the vehicle, shoots at the man, but hits the 4-year-old girl and kills her. Just goes to show you can be riding down the road. So be mindful where you're going and what you're doing. You don't want to be caught into something that is on the rise and it's negative. And you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time and suffer greatly for it. Also in Israel and Palestine, of course, the wars are continuing to grow. They're not They're not slowing down. They're still talking about this separation wall, a petition wall. Now, this is to separate the communities. That's what they're talking about here. But they have no answers right now. It's continually growing worse. And then tensions in the South China Sea. That is growing larger and larger. Now, this week, the United States sent the Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter. He went on the Theodore Roosevelt as they went through the South China Sea. And remember, China told America, you're provoking war here. You need to stay out. Where America is continuing to do so. And there's an article showing how you also have Vietnam, Brunei, and some of the other countries over there that need these waters to operate. And of course, the United States, they're looking at the economy. They need those waters to operate for the economy, but they also need ties with China. So watch very carefully how all of these things are combining together. And remember, the Theodore Roosevelt, that is the fourth aircraft carrier of the Nimitz. Admiral Nimitz was of the Pearl Harbor back in World War II. That's what these carriers are named after. He was a commander, and these are meant to transport Air Force around. So you have mobile Air Force bases. So watch very closely. The tensions on the rise. And then there's a clip showing, of course, here this last week, Halloween, the worship of the dead, All Saints Day. There's a clip showing what Pope Francis did, going down to the Cruzados. Now, that's the lower part where they keep the dead popes. And it shows him actually praying, as they say, praying for the dead. Of course, he needs to be praying for the living over there. And we'll get into that in a minute. And then there's a watch this about the pork tapeworm. Now, of course, this infests into the human body, and it shows that even though when the body takes it in, and this is from eating pork, and of course it goes to the intestinal system, one thing about tapeworms, studies have shown these things will get up to 35 and 40 foot long, and they can be in your body for up to 30 years. Now, that's a long time, and they're saying possibly 85% of all Americans have them. Now, think about that, because you can live with this thing in your gut if you eat pork and you continually do so and you don't cleanse, well, you have it with you. And then it shows that the eggs that it disperses, how they travel to the brain, and if your body tries to kill it, your brain actually swells and you die from encephalitis. So watch very carefully. It's very important that we refrain from these things because it attacks the brain. It sets in confusion and, of course, brings forth death. Then NATO's sounding the alarm over Russia. Of course, Russia has arms in Syria now. NATO's sounding the alarm saying something needs to be done. We need to do something to stop them. And, of course, propaganda is everywhere. And then we get into the Vatican once again looking at two books that were released this week. And it's exposing the financial corruption of the Vatican. And they're saying one example they gave was there was a drive to raise money for the poor. And for every $10 that was received, $2 went to the poor. The other $8 went to corruption. So they're spending money very ignorantly. And watch how they say their retirement fund for their priest is $800 million in the hole. $800 million in the hole. That's a lot of money for retirement for people that just sit around and embezzle. And then you have the Russian plane, of course, this week that it exploded. Now, the British and the Americans are saying that there was a bomb put on board. And, of course, they're calling it a terrorist attack. Russia has been very slow, and they're investigating. They're using self-control here, so to speak. And they're saying that a bomb is possible. Now, of course, everybody's wanting to rush into Egypt now. And remember, Egypt was recently brought in as part of that Middle East peace quartet. And it's been through a lot of turmoil as it is. There's a lot of wars going on in Egypt. But pay close attention to how Russia's handling this and how the others are handling this instead of rushing right in, because there's a lot to be said here in this area and what's taking place with these accusations. And in accusations, of course, Russia and Syria this last week were meeting, and of course the United States did not want this meeting to take place. The Department of Secretary of Defense, and they go to the Department of the State and they meet. And listen to the interview that takes place, how she keeps saying that it's premature, it don't need to take place, it's premature. And the news reporter asks her, what's it any of your business that these countries want to meet? Well, they're wanting to meet before the quartet meets. And that's what she's saying, that the meeting in Vienna needs to take place first. And that's the quartet. And you'll see that meeting of the quartet, and you'll see what Frederica Mogherini has to say about that meeting. And as she's talking about what's taking place in Palestine and in Israel, and she also addresses Syria. And then, of course, the hospital bombing is still very strong. Russia is taking this as propaganda, where they were accused of bombing a hospital. And once again, they're put on the hot spot trying to identify, well, where is this? The United States, that is. Where is this hospital at? And Russia's not letting this drop. And watch how hard they push for this. And then last but not least, the United States is now spending billions of dollars to update and make our nuclear weapons safer. So, yeah. Now, you want to know that a nuclear bomb is safe if they're going to drop it. So pay close attention, but don't get caught up in as much as the propaganda. Look at what they're saying. At this time, if we could play the news. If everyone will please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Hello, everyone! Praise God. Come on. There you go, that's right. Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The world is gone crazy. The Passover is coming. Start thinking about praise Yahweh. Start thinking about protection and leading a bunch of people out of this mess that they're in. This is a great start. It's going to take a little time to read this, but it's well worth it to you. All the different foods we get to try, they are so tasty, I'm not going to lie. Come for Yahweh's special treat. It's pure and clean. Yahweh doesn't miss a beat. Today, Yahweh is bringing Oki food from the Philippines. The ones who watched you teach on the screens, now they are here holding Yahweh's laws very dear. That's one. Yahweh is calling his people home away from the hills of Rome, from all nations they will come out of the wicked and wicked and evil ones. I'll put it that way. They used another word there. Yahweh's righteousness, they will learn, taught by Yisrael Hawkins, how not to burn. You're getting all that, right? We got a song coming here. We praise you, Yahweh, that your teaching has fallen like rain upon a branch, and from that branch upon his seed, just as the rain is life to a plant, so is your words okified through Yisrael life to us. the USA, what does it stand for? We are the USA. Can you see that? Oh, let me back it up a little. We are the USA. Got it over. And here's what we are. We're the real USA. Praise Yahweh. I'm looking forward to that food today. Not all is well. Not in the world, anyway. Not all is well. And we're bringing sickness into the camp. We need to be very careful about bringing sickness into the camp. We have sprays. Our shoppers They spray themselves down, boots and all. their mask and everything. They spray you the stuff they get and before they bring it to you, before it's delivered to you. And they're very careful, but we're still getting sickness brought into the camp. And of course, it's being passed around in the camp. This week there was a virus that kills the enzymes, especially the digestive enzymes out of your body. You need to replace it if you get it. That's the fastest way to replace the enzymes. There's some other things. You can check at the health food store, and they'll tell you what the doctors say for you. I'm really looking forward to this Passover because the leading of Yahweh's people out of Egypt. And that's going to take place again. Wicked Egypt, that's what the work is doing right now. We're leading the people out of the Coptic Catholic religion that's now stationed in Egypt and also the Seven Hills of Rome. Coptic Catholic religion worships all gods. Yahweh showed his power over the gods and when he brought them out. And, of course, he's doing it again right now. You wouldn't be here if he wasn't. the articles this week, I never would have thought this would have went over like this, but it says, Israel Hawkins proclaims the house of Yahweh is fulfilling biblical prophecy, and offers proof. And that thing in about the first 3 hours hit 63,555 people's homes. we're hoping before it stops it'll reach 75 million. That's the potential. The one last week, Yisrael Hawkins writes open letter to Prime Minister Netanyahu. That's up to 102,458. And the other one for the week before that, Yisrael Hawkins shows from the Bible what sin really does to the body. That one took off in a hurry too, 122,330. Read that already. This one up in Times Square, a picture of myself and Netanyahu, if you can see it there. That will also be on the front cover of the magazine with that story. We're also top, see this now, Google at the top. And at the bottom, with one there in between, and this is a woman, Michelle Backman of Minnesota, who joined Perkins on the program on Wednesday to share her view that biblical prophecy is being fulfilled. trying to copy the house of Yahweh there, I do believe. But anyway, the bottom one, the top one here at Google is house of Yahweh is fulfilling biblical prophecy and shows the proof. And then the next one on the same page, Google, Yisrael Hawkins, new article. There are many prophecies being fulfilled in this time period. that is great, but it'll get greater when you hear some of this other. Pat Robertson, also agreeing with us again. he's got a pretty large audience, so I understand. He says Halloween is the day when millions of children celebrate Satan. This is Pat Robertson, and he is bringing out some truth about Halloween. They don't realize what they celebrate, that they don't realize what they're doing. They're celebrating Satan, he said, when they play with these ghosts and goblins. 21% refuse to celebrate the holiday, and another 14% avoid the pagan elements. You can't celebrate it at all. You can't avoid the pagan elements. So the whole thing is pagan. It's like the Coptic Catholic religion. We got what was her name? Michelle Bachman. Bringing out almost the same articles that we did. We got Pat Robertson also bringing the truth out now about Halloween. Someone said Donald Trump was trying to get his hair to grow like Israel Hawkins. There's no telling what's coming next here. Everybody that's in the vitamin business, be careful. The 13th holistic doctor found dead. This one allegedly jumped from a 20th floor window. I don't think that was an accident. I think they're getting into the Pope's money. And it's not being liked too much. There was one more thing here I wanted to show you what all of this is leading to, but let me read you this one first. Sexually transmitted infections spread by dating apps. Doctors warn. Dating apps are causing a massive rise in sexually transmitted infections. But don't teach morals now, the Pope said, you know, because that takes away the rights from the people. The rights of the people are to go out and create and spread these diseases so their babies are born deformed, without eyes, half brains, half a head, no arms, and so forth. Now, this is the rights that they have. And this is Satan giving them these rights to bring forth this through sin. And sin is what's bringing it. This apps, if you need to know what these words mean. This means application. You're filling out an application to do a certain thing here. Apps, that's what it means. Applications. When you go online and you do this, you're filling out an application to practice worshiping Satan is what you're filling out that application to do, to worship Satan. The next word that goes with that is swipe, and they call it swiping the computer. I don't know anything about it and don't intend to learn. when, as the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins brought out, when I brought out the information about the computer in the 666, I decided then I was going to stay away from computers and just spend my time studying the old-fashioned way. But I wouldn't have got into this. I would have avoided this. Only a fool would do this right here. But the swipe, I don't know if you know what swipe means, but it means to steal. It was used in Oklahoma a lot, I suppose it's still used, but it means steal. So you're filling out an application here on the computer to steal somebody's wife, his daughter, his son, their son, something of another family. You're nothing but thieves when you do this. You're thieves that tell lies to get people to do what you want them to do. And you're following the Pope from the seven hills of Rome when you do this. You should be teaching others not to do this. You should be teaching others to come out of this mess. And as a result, they say, from the application that you sign and the swipe, the stealing, You bring forth, it says, statistics from Public Health England show there has been a considerable rise in STDs such as syphilis and gonorrhea. That's not all. Chlamydia, too. By the millions, by the millions. It's risen by the millions here since this started. Of course, this is Satan's job. It's the Pope's job. It's his mission, his goal, to turn as many people as he can against Yahweh's laws of righteousness. It's our job to turn them to it. And we're on the rise, and he is on the fall. Yahweh is hovering over his house right now, he says. And of course, he's guiding it to bring the biggest gathering ever out of Egypt. This will be the second time, and of course, this time it won't fail. Yahweh promises us that the laws that we're putting in their mouths will not depart from their mouths, nor from their children or their children's children forever, he said. The shocking number of new STD cases each year. This comes from Women's Health. Still think STDs are something that can't happen to you? Here's a shocking reality check. Nearly 20 million new cases of sexually transmitted diseases occur every year in the USA, in the United States of America. That adds up to over 54,000 new cases per day. And it's increasing. This is how fast the Roman Catholic Church is going down. As this rises, they're going down. Deadly viruses mutating faster than ever before, it says. New article. Endowment for Medical Research. You see the two women laughing there? They haven't got sense enough to mourn. Their brains are fried. This is talking about marijuana and the marijuana that the new marijuana swing that like the 60s swing. Well, it's the new marijuana swing now, along with applications to serve Satan. More and more prescription drugs. Well, that's making the pockets fuller of the Catholic Church. I was reading, they're getting something like 160 something billion dollars a year from pharmaceuticals. They're bringing in the money, and that's still not enough. They claim they're going in debt. They can't pay their bills. I was told yesterday by one of the elders, or this morning maybe, that this is a great example. It was a woman. I don't know any more about it than that, but she is a woman, and she had a high-paying job. She bought the cheapest insurance she could buy, which was costing, she had to pay $7,500. It was deductible. That's the part she had to pay to begin with at the first of going into a hospital with a disease. But she's having to pay $750 a month for insurance. She says, now, out of her big check, she's bringing home, she said, $350 every 2 weeks. And from that, she says, I'm supposed to pay my house payment, my car payment, my gas to go back and forth to that job. What do they expect? Now, this is the kind of world that everybody is getting into. You go in debt with a student loan that you'll never get paid back. You go in debt for a house that you never get paid off. 40-year loans. You know, the ulcers will eat you up before that 40 years is gone. Plus all these other things, you know, that you've got to have. Like a television set in every room. You know, you don't want to miss anything on that television set, especially you want three of them in the bedroom, you know. You got to watch at least three shows of a night before you go to bed. I mean, you got to make all these payments. There's some mush that you got to pay for here. And she's got to do it out of $150 a week. Her house payments are more than that. Her drug bills are more than that. Why? Because sickness is increasing globally. More and more prescription drugs. Major expenditure in the U.S. Prescription drug use increased 51% of the population in 99 to 2000 and increased another 59% from 2011 to 2012. And no wonder the scripture says in Revelations 18, 1 through 5, come out of her so you won't be partaking of these plagues that she's got, that she's offering through her no morality teaching. You know, that's what she's offering you. You can go on online and make an application to her again right here, and she'll send you another dose of them. Chlamydia. You remember when I first told you about chlamydia? It was on that stage right over there, and I believe it was in 1992 or 1993, I think. I know we had five doctors listening that day. We had a man from Young Living, Young Living, here also, and none of them had ever heard about chlamydia. And I told them this is going to be a dangerous killer because it leaves lesions everywhere it travels in your body, and it's going to open the door to everything, every disease. Well, right now, it's opened the door to cancer. They're just now finding it. You know, they're just now finding out that it actually causes cancer, but chlamydia and cancer, a new connection that they're finding. Virus behind oral cancer epidemic. Epidemics. Have you heard that word? The Savior told you to watch for it in this generation. Disease epidemics that would be the worst ever in history. It would take pretty much of a fool not to believe the Savior's words now. Especially if you read any news articles concerning these disease epidemics we're having in this generation, there has never been a time like it. He spoke that, the disciples wrote it, 2,000 years ago. How did he know it's going to be in this generation? How did he know there's going to have bombs that could darken the sun? How did he know that we would be here in the house of Yahweh teaching and he would be guiding us as high priest? 2,000 years after he said it. How did he know all that? Be a man named Israel standing up there preaching to the whole world. 2,000 years from the time he wrote it. Yeah, I'd think it'd be too much, somewhat of a fool to not believe it. Caused by sexually transmitted human papillomavirus. They find that while HPV caused only 54% of oral cancer, I'm talking about oral cancer, look it up, I'm not going to explain it to you, between 98 and 99, it caused 84% of these cancers in 2006 to 2007. So you can see the rise. It looks like HPV positive oral cancers are rising quite rapidly, quite sharply, he says, in the past 10 years.
That is why we say it is an epidemic. If anyone wants to read that, it's in Matthew 24, verse 7, and then 21 and 22, if you'll compare that with it, it's the greatest ever. The greatest diseases ever is taking place at this time. And it's getting worse every day. HPV is well-known cause of cervical cancer. Oral, well, don't want to go any further. Oral cancers are extremely deadful, extremely deadly. Come out of her, my people, that you don't partake of her plagues. These cancers, these STDs, they're part of those plagues. They're the plagues that this Coptic Catholic, Roman Catholic churches are creating on earth. And they're getting richer. The money is flowing to them from the pharmaceuticals. That's what Revelations 9, if you want to read that with me. We're in this time period right now. Revelations 9, around the great river Euphrates, you can see exactly what Revelations 9 shows you is taking place and is going to take place. And a third of the people are going to be killed in that fourth part of the earth. And in verse 20, he says, "And the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands, that they should not worship demons." Yes, as Pat Robertson said, he's one now, the Christian that's converting and listening to the house of Yahweh, and he's saying, "Yes, this is demons you're worshiping." Well, it gets much deeper than that. Gods and Elohim, you know, Genesis 3, verse 5, says, "Be like the gods." Be like the gods. Learn. Learn to be like the gods. And you can experience all kinds of death. Worship of demons. That they should not worship demons, gods of gold, silver, brass, stone, of wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither did they repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries. Sorceries, that means medication. Pharmacy, pharmaceuticals. Also means witchcraft, druggist, pharmacist. Come out from her, Yahweh says. Be not partakers with her. Rectal cancer rates are rising in young people. This is what's sad, you know. And of course, what's planted there, you know, one time may not show up for years and may show up in the next month. Your vegetarian hot dogs, they're ruining the world. Your vegetarian hot dogs may contain meat, but it also may contain human meat. Human DNA. Yes, they found it. These watchdogs, I'm so glad to see this. You know, they're checking foods and they're letting us know what's in it. So now that's not to mean they won't get paid off, you know. The Catholic Church also has a way of buying out what they don't want. Tests find human DNA and hot dogs, meat, in vegetarian products. Human DNA is in some samples of hot dogs, and meat was found in a shocking number of vegetarian substitutes. 2% of the samples tested positive for human DNA, and a whopping 66% of vegetarian hot dogs contained evidence of such contamination. Research journal reports hot dogs linked to leukemia. Brain tumors. Now, of course, this is what's wrong with the Pope today. He may have a brain tumor the size of your fist already, or he could have one as small as a dime or smaller than a dime, and it could be causing him all this confusion that's taking place in his mind right now. I feel sorry for the man because the chaos that's taking place in Rome right now is tremendous. I know you heard the news article about the two books that's been written, and of course they're exposing the Catholic Church and what it's doing, what it's done. Well, these brain tumors, they created them. You know, these are not supposed to be in mankind. These things were never supposed to be created to begin with. Yahweh didn't create this. Men created this by mutating, by first off, rebelling against Yahweh's laws. You rebel against Yahweh's laws, you commit things that he tells you to stay away from. It's going to cause confusion, he said. Leviticus 18, it causes confusion, he says. Don't do that. Well, how does it cause confusion? Your mind is what is confused, so it has to get in your brain. This is what it's speaking of. He says this will get into your brain, and it will cause you to be confused to where you can't make sensible decisions, and you'll stay angry like Cain, and you'll murder like Cain. And that's what we see going on in that third part of the earth, that fourth part of the earth right now. Murder by the thousands. It hasn't gotten any better. Afghanistan hasn't gotten any better. Iraq hasn't gotten any better. In fact, it's worse now than it was before we invaded it. You can't just go in and bomb a place and expect the people to change their mind and suddenly become lovable and merciful and start following righteousness. You've got to teach this. And that's the reason Yahweh tells you in Deuteronomy 6:25, diligently teach this to your children. How often? Well, one of these days, right? When you rise up, how often do you rise up? When you go to bed, how often do you go to bed? That's your job to teach your children. He didn't say have children, but he said teach them. If you got them, your job, your commandment is to teach those children, so they won't wind up in the hospital with something that comes from the seven hills of Rome. Children who ate hot dogs once a week doubled their chances of brain tumor. Twice a week, tripled it. Now that's how it's working. The hot dogs that you buy in town, they might call it kosher. And you say, well, can you give me the ingredients here? No, it didn't come with the package. Really? Well, how do you know it's kosher then? Oh, the rabbi said it was. What rabbi? Oh, we don't have his name. They kept that. The company's got that. They take care of all that for us. But you can trust it's kosher. Just take my word for it. The children of men who eat Franks. Now, they don't have to eat them themselves. The children of men who eat Franks, and they're talking about pork Franks, had an 11 times greater risk of leukemia than normal. Kids who ate the most ham, bacon, sausage, had a triple risk of leukemia. Brain cancer, brain tumor. It's increasing, like STDs, mad cow disease from pork. Now, who would have ever thought you could get mad cow disease from pork? Pork, it eats everything. A pork is like a buzzard. Swines are like, they were made for that purpose, to clean up the earth. Man is not supposed to eat buzzards. Man is not supposed to eat these earth cleaners, these vacuum cleaners that suck up this mad cow disease. Mad cow disease from pork may cause some Alzheimer's disease. Pork intake and human papillomavirus related diseases. International correlations suggest that pork intake is positively associated with incidence of cervical cancer, a disease also related to HPV, pork meat, or dietary factors associated with pork meat consumption may be involved in the development of HPV-related diseases. It all comes together. 2 Corinthians, write it down. Surely everyone remembers that. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Read it for yourself. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Touch not the unclean, and I will receive you. And you will be my sons and my daughters, he said, if you will do this. The thing the world don't realize today is that in the grocery market itself, you know, the people, the butchers, they don't look at this stuff as unclean, as being unclean. And, of course, the people who handle your pork chops handle your beef steaks and your ground beef. And when they ground this stuff, the stuff is the falls, the scraps, you know, it all falls together. And they don't throw that stuff away, as you've seen from the documentaries and the hidden cameras. They sweep it up and put it in your wieners. Put a lot of seasoning in there so you won't taste it. You won't even be bothered with the filth. You can just eat the worms and all, and it won't bother you at all. The taste won't. The Revelations 18, he tells you, Yahweh tells you, he warns you. He warns you of these curses, these plagues. 18, he says, after these things I saw another Moloch, one, that was a Moloch or one or same one, as strong says one, not two witnesses, but one right here. One Moloch said, come out from, or come down from heaven, that is instructed from heaven, like Yahshua, he came down from heaven, that is, his character, everything came from heaven. That's what yours is doing right now. It's coming from Yahweh in heaven. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, and the hole of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, get that, all nations have drunk of this wine. It's global. Yes, all of this stuff is global. It's gone to every nation. They can't avoid it. Have drunk of the wine of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication, the same acts of sin with her, and the merchants of the earth, this her is the city that sits on seven hills, chapter 17, verse 18, and that woman whom you saw is that great city that reigns over the kings of the earth, and verse 9 shows she sits on seven hills. Seven hills. If you'll look up Rome, it'll tell you. Or look up the seven hills, type it into the Israel Says program, and it'll give you everything you need to know from the scriptures on it. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich. Yes, here's where the money comes in. And in selling you all these delicacies that are filled with even human now, they got human in them as well as pigs and whatever else. In fact, I don't know what the documentaries and the news programs that say, you know, look at this. A doctor saying, look at this, and they'd show you ground beef. He says, you don't know what's in that. And telling the people, you know, you don't know what's in that when you get this ground beef. I've seen this several times. Through the abundance of her delicacies, that is, as As one of the prophets said, you better stick a knife to your own throat when you start to eat this king's meats. Well, this is what he's talking about. Don't do it. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins. See that? Sins. Which causes the plagues. Which causes you to receive her plagues. For her sins have reached into the heavens, and Yahweh has remembered her iniquities. And verse 8 says, she's going to be utterly burned. She's bringing the nuclear war on herself. Well, here's the way she makes the money. And of course, they're not going to repent of it. Pork is not recommended for breast cancer. No, it just makes it worse. The disease begins as blisters. This is a new one, the hand, foot, and mouth disease. The babies look like they're really hurting when they have this stuff, and of course they're suffering. And do we care? You know, is there any caring in the world today? If the person has got money that he's taken to the bank, is he really concerned about the children he's put in the hospitals or given these diseases to, the parents too, suffering? There's no word or thought of that, and doesn't seem to be. And of course, he goes to church on Sunday, pays the preacher. Preacher keeps his mouth shut. He doesn't want to, you know, to fight the goose that lays the golden egg. Remember that story? Well, as a result of this, we have confused minds. China sends armed naval fighter jets over contested islands after U.S. warships pass by. The days after a U.S. ship sailed by contested islands in the South China Sea, Beijing conducted training for its naval jets in the same area. The area is believed to be rich in mineral sources. Oh, wow. Fish again. Fish too. Fish too. Well, I know I'm out of time. I want you to protect yourself. If you have to go out. I think shopping is more of a habit than a need. And I think we could break that habit if we just try hard enough. If I could take you back to Oklahoma when I was a young man, I was glad to see that tree that guy was sitting under. It made me think of that fishing hole where I sat reading the King James Version. But I remember we had a wagon. If we go back to those days, that will take part of the shopping away because takes a long time to get there, and the further you live from town. But I know my mother would go to town about twice a year. I think the only other time would have been emergencies because I don't think she liked to go to town. But mother liked to stay home. She had all kinds of work that she did at home, and she enjoyed it. But supplies that we had, we didn't have a refrigerator, so we didn't have to worry about keeping our wieners from spoiling. We didn't have electricity either. We had a wood stove, and we cooked on that wood stove. There was always something from the time she got up of a morning. She had put a pot of something on to cook that day. But as far as shopping, it was a very simple diet that everyone had. The vegetables come from the garden. The fruit come from the fruit trees. In season, she put up cans of stuff in the summertime for that we enjoyed during the winter, canned foods with a pressure cooker. be thinking along these lines if you have to. We do shopping for people, so you won't have to go out there, take your children with you. I wouldn't take a child to town. You know, there's too many. There's just too much sickness going around, and you can get this stuff. They tell you, if you notice the commercial, the news, you can get it by touch, by sneeze, by most anything, any contact. I told you about seeing this guy grab a towel off of the shelf and sneeze in it and then put it back on the shelf on top of the towels. I could just imagine some woman walking up there and taking that thing, putting it on her face to see how soft it is before she buys it. You know, it's the diseases and the non-caring people. Yeshua says, because iniquity increases in this generation, there is no love. There's no love for anyone else. There's lust and concern for selfishness. That's what the Apostle Kepha said, that the Roman Catholic Church was going to put out in this generation, in the last days. It's coming from the leader of the kings of the earth, which is the Coptic Catholic religion, now called Roman Catholic religion, that sets on the seven hills. Seven hills. What city do you know that sets on seven hills and is leader of the kings of the earth? He just visited America, and America is doing what he tells them to do, and they don't dare to go wrong. They don't dare dispute his word in any way, at least, and let him know. Well, he's the leader of the kings of the earth. Morality is forbidden to be taught in this organization. It was to begin with. It was never with that church. It's never with the Coptic religion. And of course, I had a full sermon to bring you to show you how these diseases were in Egypt. Yahweh said, follow my ways and you won't suffer these. That was the promise he gave to the 12 tribes. Well, of course, they didn't keep it. He found fault with them and they went to the hospitals. They made their lives with hospitals. Well, there's a lot of money in the hospitals. So the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, they brought forth that way of life to bring money, and it's never stopped, and they still won't repent of it even today. These sicknesses are made, you know. They don't just happen. They're made. They're invented, and they're coaxed into being invented. They teach them from day one, the children. They put them in front of television sets that teach them to sin. If they teach them to sin, they teach them to get sick. They teach them how to get the sickness and disease. And then they teach them to take themselves to the hospital where the money pours into the pockets and is shown in Revelation, the 9th chapter, and saying they're not going to repent of these wars and they're not going to repent of these pharmaceuticals, the drugs that they're selling. The money, there's too much money in it. And they're going to do this right up until the time when the sun is darkened. And that's when we're going together, which may be this Passover. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!
We love you, Roger!